And why did you feel like it was important to give Martavis some tough love publicly?
Well, I just felt like we need him. You know, I love that guy like a little brother, and so just wanted him to know that we need him to step up, and just it was nothing more than just a challenge, that's all.
Is that something you do privately as well with him?
Absolutely, yeah. We talked yesterday.
The Four Horsemen of Trib Live Radio.
Anytime you see the Four Horsemen together, it's something special.
Ken Laird, Guy Junker, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor.
Jump on the Horsemen one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
The apocalypse for sports talk radio is here.
Talk about tough love for Martavis Bryant. That sounded downright uninspiring motivation of Martavis Bryant to me. That's Ben Roethlisberger from the South Side just a bit ago.
You want inspiring? Can't... Sammy Coates is getting a helmet this weekend. That'll inspire him.
Maybe it will. I mean, reading the quotes, reading the tweets, it's much different from hearing the audio. He was very curt and short, I thought, when answering Bryant questions today. You know, I hope so. Same thing, same advice I offered everybody. Get ready to go. Strike you
well, he's a lot different when he's talking to the media for free than when he's talking for money.
Yeah.
On
true.
Tuesday.
Fair enough. I guess the little brother quote. I didn't.
He was
hear
being
there.
Paid for that.
Yeah, I guess so.
By the way, Tim, anyway. I was looking at the shots on goal column. Matthews didn't have any goals yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Seven for the tournament.
Then Austin Davis is better then.
But he had just two shots, no goals.
And I did find, Ken, that story about the guy who stole $91,000 from the John Chalice.
Oh, my goodness.
Foundation. Wow. August 21st, 2015.
He was his former baseball coach at Freedom, right?
Yeah, he was. He used to coach him.
Josh Taylor's been along for the ride. Josh has been supporting silently behind the scenes my Golden State Warriors love for the Pirates. He sent me some factoids. Good on you, Josh. You're on the money.
Well, it's not necessarily, you know, concrete proof, but it's at least a theory as to how, maybe much to Tim's chagrin, maybe it worked. Now, going into last season, who do you think were probably the three most injury-plagued, at least historically, guys who probably had concerns about injuries on that Pirates roster? Who do you think the top three guys were? It's like, okay, injuries have plagued this guy. You know, you never really expect him to play a lot.
Burnett.
Definitely the catcher.
Cervelli's one of them. Burnett definitely from being 38 years old, but he's also 38 years old. But yeah, that makes sense. Cervelli being one
and
of them.
He had arm problems.
And he had arm problems. He had the hernia from last season. Burnett being one.
Neil Cervelli Walker.
Neil Walker would be another one. I'd throw in there, for the sake of argument, just because of his career and how things fell off and he finally rebuilt with the Pirates, Francisco Liriano. Now, taking Burnett out of it, because
even if some of his injuries were caused by Christmas Day horsing around with his kids.
True. Now, let's deal with those three. Walker, Cervelli, and Liriano. Walker last year played in 151 games. It's the second highest total he's played in his career and the most he played in since 2011 when he played in 159. Cervelli played in 130. That's the most games he's ever played in his career. He played in 91 in 2010. Liriano had 31 starts last season, 186 innings. That's his most since 2010. He had 191 innings and 31 starts. You could make a good case that with those three guys, who in the past 5 to 6 seasons, injuries have derailed their playing time and limited their playing time, that maybe, just maybe, what the Pirates were doing might have worked. And throughout the season, Cervelli even mentioned it, how he felt better, how he was able to stay fresh, and how he was able to get himself re-energized and go out and play and be ready to go every day. And that came from Cervelli's mouth, not Minor Ken's. So you can make a case, just based on those three guys alone, that maybe what they did worked even a little bit. It's not concrete evidence, but it does lend
Tim
towards
Tim looks
the theory.
Nonplussed, but it's a good argument.
It lends toward the theory. Now, this is just
Tim's silence speaks volumes.
This is in support of Ken's theory that what they were doing might have worked.
So if that's the case, then do we look at it from the lens that they were right, and if they had tried to win one more game and not have, for instance, the Florimon game against the Cubs just to pull one out? You know, do they, you know, instead of chasing the one more win that maybe would have gotten them to the division, they were right because if they didn't do the substitution pattern, they would have only won 92? Is that what you're arguing?
Define the chasing one more win thing.
Well, my point being, you don't rest your guys in games that you can't afford to lose. And if you're chasing a wild card and you're chasing a division, then to me, there's still something to play for, and you don't rest your guys in games
well,
that you.
Well, if you're chasing a wild card division, then you can't afford to lose any games.
That's what I'm saying.
That's,
by the way,
that's an
news.
All-encompassing argument. That's for any team you can make that argument that you can't afford to lose any game. That doesn't change anything. That's
right. So when you're sacrificing games late
this season.
But that's
about as obvious as the sky being blue.
So if you're sacrificing games late in the season down the stretch as they were in that instance, you're saying that's part of the overall plan, which is right, because they wouldn't have gotten to 98 if they didn't have this substitution
plan.
That's
actually not what I'm saying at all.
Well, you kind of are, though. You're suggesting that part of the reason they were a 98-win team is because of the substitution patterns that they used throughout the year. Yes?
I didn't mention the win total at all. I'm just saying three guys who had injury problems throughout their careers played longer innings and games last year because maybe they knew what they were doing.
Okay, so it worked for their individual, which then worked for the collective for the overall good of the team.
That's a good way to put it, yeah, but it had nothing to do with the win total, just the fact that those guys who hadn't played a long time in 5 years played a lot longer. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying that the evidence points toward. It had nothing to do with the win total and their success as a team. I'm just saying three particular guys who had injury problems for about 5 years played the most they had played in 5 years, and maybe this had something to do with it. Everything else is off the table. I'm talking about specifically for longevity purposes and how this might have affected those individual guys' health. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Breaking Pirates news at this hour, boys. A new bullpen arm has been added to the lot. The Pirates have agreed to a one-year, $3.9 million deal with Neftali Feliz.
Whoa.
The righty late of the Detroit Tigers. 30 appearances last year for Detroit and an ERA of 7.6. It might be an anomaly. Only threw 28 innings.
He's coming off an injury, though, right?
Yeah, longtime Texas Ranger. I don't know what his injury was. But 6'3 righty, and I wonder if this is the start of a Melanson trade to
come. Well, that's the first thing that jumped into my head, too. But is he right-handed or left-handed?
He's a righty.
He's a righty. He was Texas's closer at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he finished. Well, he was the rookie of the year in 2010. And
have they added a lefty arm?
He saved 40 games that year.
Aside from the lobster, have they added a lefty arm?
Rock lobster, baby.
I forgot the lobster.
Rock lobster.
No, and they lost Lafron Boyce, too, right? He went to the Cubs.
Yeah, they're lefty.
Well, they lost Lafron Boyce when they got the lobster. They just
right, because the Angels claimed him.
That was the first thing that went through my head, too. But, again, if they're going to elevate Watson, the next domino that should fall is who's the lefty that helps to get through the middle innings instead of just relying on all righties.
They're going to need one by default.
Well, I mean, can't imagine they would give a guy $4 million here and keep Melanson. Just knowing their peril, don't you think this is Melanson's going to be traded imminently here?
Yeah.
And I mean, he'll be the eighth inning guy and Watson the ninth or vice, you know, one of the two. I think this is a pretty big deal for the Pirates here at this hour.
Unless they think that he's the new Soria.
Maybe. It could be right. And if he is coming off a serious injury, maybe they're not counting on him that much. But like you said, Tim, he was a big-time closer. 40 saves in 2010, 32 saves in 2011. He closed out some games in both 2014 and even had 10 saves last year with Texas.
What's the contract?
1 year, $4 million, basically.
But why can't Caminero be Soria?
That's a good question, because Caminero, towards the end of the year, looked like he was figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like Caminero.
In his seven-year career, Feliz has struck out 265 over 289 innings. It's almost the strikeout-per-inning guy.
Is Watson the only lefty reliever remaining?
I think he is.
I think he is, and if you
the lobster.
Yeah.
Man, if you make him your closer, you have one. Hurdle loves three lefties in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You're gonna have one, and that was three, and none were your closer.
What about Bastardo? Where's Bastardo?
Bastardo's still a free agent, but he's looking for a 3-year deal. Last time I saw, he's actually trying to pony up with somebody here.
Now, of course, when they traded Hanrahan, they got a bullpen guy back. So, you know, if they trade Melanson here in the next day or two, who knows? That might be a piece they get in return, a young lefty. But that's notable at this hour. Also breaking news from the Penguins side of the ledger. The All-Star selections have been announced, and no Sidney Crosby in the All-Star game. I guess maybe not a huge surprise, given this.
No, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
I figured he would have made the team regardless of his numbers.
Just on merit.
Just because you're making it a 3-on-3 TV event. If you're going to make it a TV event, just put the Stars in there.
By the way, he's now up to 36th in points, 6 goals in 6 games. Tim's been harping on the star's got a star, and he's been starring for a while now.
Remember, it's a weird format this year because of the three-on-three, so they selected, you know, per division. I guess it was 11 guys per division. So the Metropolitan Division had three players from Washington, two from Pittsburgh, and just one from everybody else. Malkin's in and Letang is in, but no Sid. And I guess the argument would then be, does Sid deserve to make it over Letang, who didn't play a lot of the first half? They need defensemen, too, to fill out the roster, so that's it's an interesting debate. But the other guys to make it were Backstrom from Washington with Ovechkin. Also, Holtby made it. Jersey got a goalie. Corey Schneider's in. Ryan McDonough made it from the Rangers. That's the only Ranger to go. John Tavares goes. And Brandon Saad goes from Columbus, plus Claude Giroux. Who's your Philadelphia representative?
So Saad went, but Kessel didn't, huh?
Yep, Saad ahead of Kessel. But, you know, every team needs a rep, so it's a little bit, it's not quite apples and oranges in that sense. So a lot going on here at this hour. And, of course, getting ready for Steelers and Bengals. And there was a report out of Bengals practice that Andy Dalton was in sweats and had gloves on and was not getting ready to practice today. We'll get more from Jeff Hobson at Bengals.com at 12:45, but it doesn't look like he will participate here on this Wednesday, even though he got the cast off of the right hand. That covered. Anything else I missed?
Man. It's a lot of breaking news.
It's pretty busy here. We're brought to you by Team Spanos Group of Raymond James here on Trib Live Radio. We've been taking your thoughts on Steelers, Penguins, and now Pirates throughout the day, plus Jagoff of the Year voting, which will continue into tomorrow, so you got a day to think about it if you'd like to. Tortorella gets...
Do you want to go back to fighting about the substitution patterns, or are we off of that now?
Well, is there anything more to say? No, you pretty much lost the argument, didn't you?
Oh, okay. I lost the argument. Whenever you disagree with me, I lose the argument before it begins. So.
Your silence spoke volumes, as it always does.
I was letting him finish his point,
which
Taylor, you always bitch
you
at me for not letting you do.
And reason.
For the record, I am merely an independent arbiter. I just happened to find the information that supported Ken's theory.
Hey, if the default of every Pirates argument is they won 98 games at work, then you're right. I can't win the argument.
By the way, that was not what I mentioned.
Well, you can't because they didn't win the division.
By the way, the win total was not part of the information I
but
presented.
But the win total is an extension of the good play of the players who had the injuries, which is the very foundation of what you're discussing.
Actually, not really. I was just saying a bunch of guys played longer than they had in 5 years. The win total had nothing to do with it.
Well, what's your
part
of the
argument?
Because
they could have easily been a 72-win team and still played more games.
My premise of the argument is if you can have all the substitution patterns and rest patterns you want. If you're chasing a division championship and you've got a team that you're challenging to do so, then you break your substitution patterns for that day.
That'd be a fair argument.
Well, which they kind of – I mean, in the postseason, they played Rodriguez to start.
I'm not talking about the dippy decision to play Estrada.
Well, even in the last
month,
even in some
Sunday games or some regular season games, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, I think the point you're making is if you're resting guys to keep the rotation intact and you lose an important game that you end up losing the division by a couple of games, have you really achieved your goal?
Right.
But then the counter-argument is if you hadn't rested those guys and they wind up on the DL, maybe you don't even win the 98 games. I mean, I think there's some good merit in what Josh looked up there, that guys did play longer and that, is that just luck? I mean, at Cervelli, particularly... I mean, that guy got beat to crap last year, and yet he managed to play a lot.
And he talked about it a lot that last month of the season going into October about how much better he felt and how his goal was just to go home, get rested up, and come back ready to play, and how he felt great going into that latter part of the
season.
It's
an impossible thing to say either side is right or wrong because you don't know how much better guys performed when they did play because they were rested. And you also don't know how many more games you might have won had they not rested so much. But it's interesting.
It's worth noting.
I think it's something that it's a lot easier to build an argument around for the early part of the season, like pre-All-Star break. After the All-Star break, if you know what you're looking at as far as a pennant race, a wild card race, then I think you stop manipulating your lineup for the issues of fatigue and you try to win the game on a given day.
Especially if when you're getting into September, having rested those guys for so much, they should feel better down the stretch in theory. Right.
And again, I still think there's a big difference between trying to apply minutes in a basketball team to games played on a baseball team.
Well, not necessarily if you're playing twice as many baseball games as basketball games.
McCutchen was really, he was dragging all year, right? That goes back to even before the season began. In a way, I think they could have even spelled him a little more with if they had a better fourth outfielder to go to.
And he played 151 games, by the way.
Yeah, he played
Wasn't
a lot.
That the weird part about one of the days maybe. Is they played McCutchen in two straight games. They played McCutchen, but they rested everybody else, right?
Right.
Was that the Florimond game? I think that was the Florimond game, right?
I think you're right. Yeah.
But there was something else wrapped in that, too, because one of them, who was it? Was it Marte hurt that day, though? Marte was coming off an injury, so they rested Marte and they had to play McCutchen. I thought that's what that issue was.
I'll have to go back and check.
Because remember, Marte got hurt later on in the year, and they had that doubleheader, so McCutchen played both games because they rested Marte in the first one and played him in the second one or the other way around. But Marte was coming off that illness is what it was. He had that stomach bug. He was coming off that illness, so they rested him for a game, and they played McCutchen in both.
Well, the difference is, unlike the Golden State Warriors, their Klay Thompson and Steph Curry didn't show up in the playoff game, right? I mean, you had Arrieta, who was the dominant story. Marte was striking out when the game was on the line.
Yeah,
so,
Steph Curry was Arrieta. He played for the other team. That was
right.
The problem.
So that's not a good example. But in terms of the regular season and 98 wins, it looks like a pretty good plan to me.
Or are we just maybe taking this argument a little bit too far and not focusing on the fact that the overall health was just better?
Yeah, the health was better, and
I mean,
it might be attributable to a lot of things. Might be flat luck for all we know.
If you're talking about using sports science to improve the health of your players, and the health of your players was better, and the longevity was better, shouldn't that just be something you check off and move on, in theory?
But on a day when they signed Naftali Feliz, I can see where the skeptics are like, you know, they spend so much time deflecting your attention to the doctor they signed. How about signing a player of some repute, you know?
He's a damn good reliever.
Feliz was, and he hasn't been lately. But it's sort of a pirate signing in a nutshell, isn't it? It's a guy who they're getting on a stock down that they can rebuild. And
it's low risk, high reward. That is Neil Huntington's MO. And people talk about the whole money issue. It's not even the money issue. It's the risk issue. That's Neil Huntington's MO. Neil Huntington tries to avoid taking on as much risk as possible. And the money is not the risk factor. It's everything else associated with that risk. That's
although hell. $4 million is a risk for them. That's
that might be the
money,
most
right?
That might be the most risk averse thing he's done is signing Naftali Feliz with all of his struggles and injury issues for $4 million.
We'll see how it works. All right, to the mail we go. 10 minutes left in the Junker campaign today. Tortorella gets a vote from Brian. He always votes Tortorella anyway, but he whines about everything and anything, and he's the most arrogant coach ever. He'll be the Jagoff of the century someday. I guarantee it.
I won't be here to see it, but.
He got up, didn't he? I mean, it was like he was dead, and then he was out there the next shift.
Thank you. It's like he was dead, and then he got up the next shift. From MB, can we still have a Jagoff of the Week and separate the Jagoff of the Year? I think Goodell deserves the yearly vote, but Johnny Football deserves one this week. We can't let that little POS get away with grade A Jagoffery.
Which is why he's my candidate for Jagoff of the Year. But that is a fair question, though, also.
Blonde wig, sunglasses is pretty strong.
That's like Bobby Valentine-esque, if you think of
Billy?
It.
Billy? What was his nickname? Billy.
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy. So who gets the award? Is it Manziel or is it Billy? I mean, you got to separate those.
And in the story, I mean, what was it? He didn't have a credit card because he didn't want to use a credit card to show he was there. And
he didn't want to use his
cash.
Card, and he didn't have cash. So he was trying to get comped while he was there and didn't
all
get
he had
comped.
Were
don't you know who I am? I'm Billy Manziel, damn it.
This is like Ron Mexico territory.
Sean gives him a vote from Canada. Jagoff of the Year, Johnny Walker Football. Immature and selfish.
Johnny Walker Football.
I shouldn't laugh, but that is kind of funny.
And Chuck in Bethel Park also giving Johnny Manziel a vote. So.
What was the Joe Namath quote? I like my Johnny Walker red and my women blonde. Was that the quote?
Oh, wow. It's the first I've heard that.
Yeah.
He didn't say wigs blonde, did he? Mike in Indy says, congrats on 6 years, guys. I listen to you every day from Indianapolis. Jagoff of the Year vote is for the man who has caused me, and I'm sure the majority of Steelers fans, more stress and anger this season, none other than Antoine F. Blake, for breaking records at Pro Football Focus for the most yards given up and the most missed tackles in a year. There it is, the official Antoine Blake vote.
Bringing people together, Antoine Blake.
That's Tim Benz who alerted you to those factoids yesterday, I believe. David in Tennessee votes for... let's see. He says, Penguins ownership, they have no plans other than to screw things up. This core group of players should have more to show for it than they've had. Sidney Crosby has been playing like a regular guy. Dumb trades all around. They didn't even give Mike Babcock a look in the offseason, and they got us in cap trouble and couldn't sign anyone.
That sounds more like a Penguins email. I mean, a Pirates email than a Penguins email. It's weird.
That's actually the first vote for the Penguins, but David is kind of in the Rossi camp there. Well, Rossi voted for Rutherford, right? So it's close enough.
Though he claims it was indirectly.
Rossi got a lot of hate, as he always does after he visits.
of course he does.
Hey, Carl, John Gibson did make the All-Star team. Did you see that?
So did Brandon Saad.
For Anaheim, yeah. Wow. I didn't think Gibson was having a very good year, right? How'd that happen?
What high school did he go to?
Whitehall.
There is no Whitehall. There's no Roebuck.
I was waiting on the fight song. You didn't sing it. I was disappointed.
Delaware Ed says, Rossi is hilarious. He mentions the Pens wouldn't play well against the Caps. Well, who would? They're the best team in hockey. Also, he said overtime will lead to people playing two defensemen. Do you think the Hawks will really play Scuderi over Kane? He makes me laugh out loud every time he's on.
Scuderi's their sixth defenseman. Why would they play Scuderi in overtime over Kane?
Carl says Rossi made the argument about getting the puck with speed.
Well, that's
speed
what he's
to
saying. Like they do three pairs and one forward. So by extension, it would be then the thinking.
But you figure
Scuderi. But by that
but
point,
you figure
I'm sure,
by the time you got down to Scuderi, Kane's already played a shift or two.
Scuderi got to play last night, so he could get his 14-second montage in the jumbotron and not have to wave from the press box. Probably be scratched tonight, and Roosevelt being there. All
well, you said, hey, here comes the Scuderi tribute, right? Doesn't it come in the first TV timeout? And
right.
They started playing a promo, and I'm like, maybe they're not doing one, or maybe not. But so the promo ran before the Scuderi tribute ran.
They're like, oh, wait, we forgot to do the Scuderi tribute.
And Guy was like, no, I want to watch my kid get the ice off the shavings off the ice. I'm not looking at Scuderi.
Like, shit, we were supposed to do that promo first. Like, run the Scuderi thing now. Hurry up.
Carl says Rossi likes to put his boy Bosma on a pedestal, and then he ignores what he's seeing now, which is Mike Sullivan changing their scheme. Johnston was preaching 200 feet of defense, which stifled their O, and that is exactly what's happening now, that Sullivan is creating more offense and freeing Sidney Crosby up. Puck with speed and better chances.
This is an interesting irony, if you think about it.
See if that's true.
I'll tell you, one of the amazing things to me, I tweeted out, Duncan Keith played almost half the first period. He wound up playing 29 minutes plus last night.
Wow. And Letang played, what, 25?
26-26.
Yikes.
Sounds like we need some Golden State Warrior plan.
Jeff says, Jagoff of the year to Chris Coughlin for taking out Jung-Ho Gung.
Good. Yeah,
out of
that's
the
a good vote.
Bucks season.
Great vote.
Yeah, I would take him over Madden. He created the problem Madden commented about.
And Coughlin's a repeat offender.
And he's a repeat offender, yep. I agree.
Great vote.
He said, Jeff also says PNC wooers were also considered.
Yeah, jeez, oh man. I just hate giving them any recognition.
You keep talking about it. They're going to keep coming up. Doing it. They're like roaches when the lights come on, man. They're everywhere.
Frederick, Maryland we go. Brian says, I can't get past the puck schmuck. I mean, he stole a puck from a kid and then had the audacity to taunt him. In the Super Bowl... As the Super Bowl trophy is named after Lombardi, the Jagoff of the Year trophy should be named in honor of the puck schmuck.
Yeah, I'm still leaning toward that. I just think it's the biggest single act of Jagoffery of the year.
Mike in D.C.
Stealing
is
money from John Chalice is pretty good upon further review, isn't it?
Yeah, but
wait.
Did he ever plead guilty, though? The story we called up said he was expected to plead guilty. Whatever happened to it after that. From there.
Jack Johnson's parents, was that 2 years ago or was that 2015?
That was 2 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
They won? For the year?
They won for the week, I thought, that year, didn't they?
Yeah, they took all his money and lost it.
This is similar.
They gave it to Neftali Perez.
Hey, by the way, I see a note here from Anaheim. John Gibson, Baldwin's own guy, the second youngest U.S.-born goalie to ever play in the All-Star game, second to only Tom Barrasso, who played in 85. A little factoid for you. Mike in D.C. wants to know, Guy, why you don't like The Natural. Fantastic baseball movie.
Oh, no, I do like it. No, you said my favorite all-time baseball movie was For Love of the Game, and I said it's not. I just hadn't watched The Natural in a long time. It's a good movie.
Now, do you have a – if you're going to play this on the computer, you have to make sure it's queued up to the part.
Oh, the part itself, no, but it is queued up. Okay.
It's a minute 56, and there's, like, montage noises in here, so it's probably not the right part.
We're probably looking at the same exact video then.
Let's get it. We'll get it for tomorrow. It's fine.
Okay.
I think an underrated baseball movie is Eight Men Out. That's a great movie.
Excellent baseball movie.
Yeah.
Excellent movie. John Cusack's great in that movie.
But the 1919 Fixed World Series.
So is David Strathairn. They're both good in that movie.
Vote for Goodell and now a vote for Bettman. Ben says, give me the NHL and Bettman at the helm. He has completely failed. The game is slow and boring. Fresh blood needed in the front office of the National Hockey League.
Have you ever seen the Ken Burns documentary where they really go in depth in the 1919, how they fixed it and how obvious it was? And they were talking, you know,
I have that whole documentary, and I think Ken Burns is not only very talented, but a terrific guy. We've had him on the show, but I can't get through all those hours. I watched parts of it, but I didn't see the 1919 part.
The way he made it sound was like if there was the age of social media back then, we would have found out about it about as quickly as we found out Johnny Manziel was in Vegas with a blonde wig on.
Yeah.
It was such a widespread rumor. Apparently, Christy Mathewson was sitting next to one of the writers, and the writer had heard that the series was fixed.
Jeez.
And he actually had Christy Mathewson sit next to him in the press box and was kind of using him as a consultant for the series. He said, point out to me where you think the guys are fixing this. He's like, here, 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 and here.
What?
Even like Joe Jackson, everybody said, oh, Shoeless Joe Jackson at 364, and he was throwing the wrong base.
That's a normal day for Andrew McCutchen. What are you talking about?
The pitcher who gave up two runs you were supposed to feel bad for. Yeah, he gave up two runs.
Cut.
Yeah, but he made like five throwing errors and had seven walks. And some of the other players were bailing him out by playing good defense. One of the guys, the outfielder, who hit 295 or 300 for the World Series, was fine, but he made a base running mistake in every single game.
That's another day for Gregory Polanco. What are you talking about?
Maybe the part games were fixed.
The 98 wins was a sham.
Let's see. Tony says Roger Goodell's a jagoff, but even he wouldn't take a puck from a kid, so give me that guy for jagoff of the year.
Wow. There's no money attached.
I don't know
to
about
it.
That. Goodell might do that.
He'd only take the puck if it had money wrapped around it.
He'd take the puck, but then he'd hug the kid.
it would be awkward.
Give him the man hug on the stage.
Awkward man hug with the kid.
Settner says, I'd really like to vote for Ray Lewis just because he's probably the jagoff of the decade. However, give me the puck schmuck. What a freaking jagoff. Starting to get a little run here. So, you know what? We're going to put all these up overnight on a Twitter poll, but we'll get back at it tomorrow.
Don't feel necessary to vote for one of the leaders. If you got something different, maybe we can get a late run tomorrow.
Come to think of it, has Sidney Crosby ever played in an All-Star game? Hurt,
he's
Olympics,
been hurt a lot, yeah.
Lockout, season-ending scoring drought from Seth Rohrabaugh. It's a good point.
Maybe he campaigned to not pick me. Maybe he asked the league. Who picked this? This was all fan voting? I'm not sure what the format was this
year.
Well,
if Sid didn't make it, I assume that Dubinsky's involved somehow.
Or Don Cherry.
All right, guy, parting shot here on this Wednesday, January 6th.
Well, I think the Penguins are headed in the... I was thinking, a week ago, things looked so glum for the Steelers. We're not happy with the Pirates' personnel moves over the winter. The Penguins have just been a mess. I think in 10 days' time, things have brightened considerably. The Steelers are in. The Penguins are playing much better. I have a long way to go, but I tweeted before the game last night that to me, this was the most anticipated game to watch of the season since opening night, just because of who they were playing and how much better they had been, a real test to see if they had improved. And you're sitting there at the end of the second period thinking, no. But I think by the end of the game, I think, the arrow continues, to quote Mike Tomlin, to point upward. And tonight I'm going to the Pitt game. So they've been ranked in both of the top
You're
polls,
going
so
to watch basketball tonight?
I certainly am.
Wow. That is the stunner of the year.
So there. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Rematch Penguins and Hawks. Guy's going to watch hoops.
See, even Guy can turn over a new leaf in 2016.
Yeah, but that game's at 7. I hope to be home in time to see, the end of the Penguin game anyway.
That's true. That's the beauty of college hoops. 2 hours and you're out.
Big news, Ken. I found it. I found the Trinity, the Holy Trinity of good news for Ken Laird.
Oh, dear.
First,
God.
The Golden State Warrior guy, then Ronda Rousey, SI. Sorry, Ronda Rousey, SNL, and now I've got another one for him.
Well, don't leave me hanging.
No, it's a tease. I thought we were going to break.
It's a great tease.
Okay. Also coming back, Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com will give us some intel from Cincinnati's ledger. And so far, so good in terms of Andy Dalton's inactivity if you're a Steelers fan, but we'll find out for sure next. We're in the Giovanni's Pizza Hour at Giovanni's.com. Great options for your lunch. Fast delivery, free delivery, 412-281-7060. The Josh Taylor Calzone, I believe, is officially named on the website at this point.
Nice.
You know they got great pizza.
Better have bacon in it.
Subs. Racks.
No, it's the guy Junker Calzone, and Josh's name is in parentheses beside it.
No, so you
because he stole it off.
So you have to buy it, and then someone else steals it from you, and they eat it. That's how it works.
Probably have the Ken Laird honorary Pit 9 Wins Meat Lover's Pizza. Over there at this point.
We're changing their menu in like one segment. This is fantastic.
We really are. And the Team Spanos Group of Raymond James, Pittsburgh Magazine's Face of Financial Guidance, brings Trib Live Radio to do. I'm looking forward to this. The Tim Benz Tea, something else to make me happy here on this Wednesday. Good. That's next.
Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch specials starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad and bowl of soup. Two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad. Penne pasta, garlic bread, and a small salad. Half a hoagie and french fries, or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com.
Got a case? Visit frankwalkerlaw.com. That's frankwalkerlaw.com.
Looking for a sweeter way to start your day? Enjoy Dunkin' Donuts Chicken Apple Sausage Breakfast Sandwich. Juicy split chicken sausage seasoned with flavorful apple and spices on top of egg and cheese, all on a warm toasted English muffin. And to make you feel even better, it's all under 400 calories. It'll turn any good morning into a great morning. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
This season, you have a choice. You can get sold or you can get paid. The sports handicapping business has turned into a sales pitch rather than picking winning games. But there is still a company that stands out from this crowd, TomBartonSports.com. While the rest sit in a boiler room atmosphere, cold calling clients and praying on that next sale, TomBartonSports.com is busy winning games. TomBartonSports.com is less than $100 for 30 days of plays and simply the best in the business. Other fast-talking types might make that claim, but TomBartonSports.com has the awards and the evidence to back it up. TomBartonSports.com is monitored and documented, so you know it's the truth. So this year, instead of being the guy who got sold by a wannabe handicapper who's really just a salesman, come to TomBartonSports.com and be the guy who gets paid week in and week out by a real professional, because you choose the best in the business.
TomBartonSports.com is an informational site only and does not accept wagers.
You don't need to face criminal charges alone. Call me, Frank Walker, 412-532-6805.
Game faces every day at Goodrich & Geist, pursuing justice for real people. Online at goodrichandgeist.com. Injured? Do you have a case? Call Goodrich & Geist at 412-766-1455. Goodrich & Geist, located at 3634 California Avenue in Pittsburgh's North Side. Goodrich & Geist, attorneys at law, online at goodrichandgeist.com. All playoff coverage brought to you by Goodrich & Geist, investing in the community with roots in Pittsburgh.
Hey, take your sweetheart to the Mediterranean. Ali Han's Mediterranean Cuisine. Mediterranean-style cuisine in the heart of Pittsburgh, located at 124 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Lunch specials, daily only $10, valid Monday through Friday between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Make your reservations online at alihanscuisine.com. That's A-L-I-H-A-N-S cuisine.com. Or call 412-888-0629. Ali Hans, Mediterranean Cuisine.
The noon lunch hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
No Sidney Crosby in the All-Star game? Yep. I was looking into how the All-Star selections were made. Tim, you're right about John Scott getting the fan vote. He is the captain of of the Metropolitan Division because of that. There are basically only four players were voted in by the fans. And the other 40 were picked by the NHL Central Office. and they could only take 11 per division. But the four players voted in by the fans were Jágr, Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, and John Scott. So there you go. And then they filled out the rest of the rosters accordingly, and only two Penguins made it. And Malkin and Letang are in. Sidney Crosby is out. And John Scott may fight somebody. I don't know. But there were
doesn't
obviously some...
there have to be a fighter on another team so he can show off his all-star worthy wares? Otherwise, what's the point of having him, right?
I don't know. The biggest snub, I think, would be Crosby, although Corey Crawford also didn't make it, who was in last night and leads the NHL in shutouts, six of them, 21 wins. So there probably were some more snubs, too. All right, give me this info that the triumvirate of good Ken Laird news today.
First, it was that the Golden State Warrior plan is going to be fully embarking with the Pittsburgh Pirates this year. When they hired back these guys who have Golden State Warrior connections that you like so much.
Yep.
Then we find out that Ronda Rousey is going to be on SNL as the host on January the 23rd. And now we find out that Ronda Rousey is also going to be body painted in the SI swimsuit edition.
Whoa!
And there are leaked photos online.
And I've looked them up. And they're pretty, to his computer.
And they're pretty good.
Now, you mocked my love for Ronda Rousey.
I mocked your obsession for
her.
Well,
I'm not obsessed with her. I just
and I've also
her
mocked
work.
Your suggestion that she's a 10. I think
I never said she's a 10.
I think because she's an athlete, her beauty gets overrated. And I think in part because she's somewhat pretty, her athleticism becomes a bigger story than what it is.
So you're saying she gets graded on a curve because she fights other women's, what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, as an athlete, she should be graded on a curve.
As a woman that can kick your ass, she kind of gets a little bit of extra boost.
Oh, man. Body paint photos. Now I got to troll
they're pretty
the
good.
Some girls like that kind
it's of not hard. I will tweet one out right now if you like.
Well, she's already appeared in SI's swimsuit issue, hasn't she?
She has.
She has, yes, but not body painted. So this is actual nudity just covered up with paint.
I gotcha.
And since there's all no right. more Playboy anymore, this is as close as we get.
Yeah, they had the last one. I saw you tweeting out the picture of that. That's just...
Yeah, she was a babe.
That's quite
she's
the way
the last,
to go out.
I mean, what a way to kind of project your career. I'm the last nude model in Playboy history. It doesn't get any better than that.
That sounds so post-apocalyptic, doesn't it? We must find the last Playboy model. She has gasoline for our cars. She will have clean water.
We'll get some Steelers-Bengals talk with Jeff Hobson here coming up in just a minute. Your buddy Tim Williams from Pirates Prospects, Benzie, was talking about the Bucco bullpen. He agrees.
All my friends keep getting involved in the show. That's good.
He agrees with with what we're saying, though, that their bullpen is projected to make $24 million right now, and he can't see that happening. Because on the payroll now are Melanson, Watson, Hughes, the new signee today, Neftali Feliz, $4 million. Cameron Yarrow and Juan Nicasio. Remember, they already signed to be kind of their new long man. Plus, as you pointed out, the Lobster is set to join. So that's a lot of money in the bullpen. Now, maybe they would. Maybe they would go a little more Kansas City Royals approach, right, and just say, hey, we're going to load up on the pen. That's going to be our killer. That's going to be our secret weapon this year. But
it won't be much of a secret if everybody knows the vast majority of their payroll is going that direction.
And Feliz has not been good of late, by the way, so that's not a sure thing that he's going to be lights out, but they've done a good job in the bullpen, and it's hard to...
They must think there's an easy fix here for Ray Searidge to get his magic voodoo going.
Exactly.